Bibles, please, to Psalms 127. Psalm 127. And we'll start at verse number 1. Stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Let me say this again, that they travel so much and trying to get family here and different things at the same time was almost impossible. And so got part of the family here on one side, and we're thankful for that. And but they could be here tonight, so they had asked if we could dedicate that child tonight, and we'll certainly do so. If the Lord so let us live that long, Jesus doesn't come. But wouldn't it be something for rapture come, take us out of here before we get to that part? Amen. Glory to God. Verse 1, Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I wanted to read that because it's vain to try to talk about raising children or try to talk about dedicating children or talk about anything about life. It's in vain unless the Lord does it. And I was praying a while ago, and I was trying to pray for the country of Thailand. I was trying to pray for Mexico and unrest in these countries, and I got to thinking about it. America's not the safest place on the earth to walk and to live, but I'm glad there's one that watches over you, whether you're in America, whether you're in Mexico, or wherever you are. I was thinking the other day that if God doesn't watch over us, we're not going to be watched over anyhow. And so thank God for His goodness to watch over. Let Him build the house. And talking about a physical house, but talking about a home. I see signs up that says homes for sale. You can't buy a home. You can buy a house, but you can't buy a home. Home is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for so that He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of His of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus, and thank You for the privilege we have be in the house of God tonight. Thank You for these folk who have come this way. I do pray for every person present. I ask in Jesus' name that You'd help us tonight, Father, as we take the Word of God. Try to share some thoughts, and I pray the Holy Spirit make them real to our hearts and stir our lives. Help every mother, every dad. I pray for every boy, every girl, every child, every teenager. I pray for everyone present, everyone saved, and those that are unsaved. I pray for those that are out of the will of God tonight in this service that You'd have Your way. You'd challenge and convict and draw. And Father, I do praise Your name that You give life, and we give You all the glory for what You do, and help us do what we're supposed to do after You give the life unto us. And we'll thank You and praise You. All You do, we confess the devil defeated. Jesus Christ is a victor. In His precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're tonight thinking about, I'm trying to break it down into three parts, and I hope that you'll hang with me in this, and God will help us as we do this. Let me say, first of all, let's think about the Lord's gracious gift. The Lord's gracious gift. If you hold a baby in your hand, if you've ever held a baby in your hand, it's a gracious gift from God. Amen. Life is God-given. And those who kill babies, I feel sorry for them. If they don't get saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, what a sad day someday is coming. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and that heritage, you think of something that not necessarily that you did anything to deserve or get or anything, just something you inherited. It's a heritage. That's what God said. Low children are an heritage. That's down through the line. And we carry on the name of the man. We carry on that name. And then He said, womb is His reward. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I believe that God knew what He's talking about when He has said for us to do that and have children. Amen. And I'm no authority on this subject, but I do believe what God said. God said that children are an heritage and said that they are a reward. And I believe that they're a blessing from God when God gives a child. And I want you to get that part tonight as before we go any further, is God's gracious gift is that child. I see several of you tonight holding babies in your arms, and that's a gift from heaven. That's a gift of God. Some of us, our children have already grown up, have grandchildren, and then they've grown up and have great-grandchildren, and it keeps on going if God lets you live, and that's a blessing. But whether it be a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild, a baby's a precious gift. And I see Josie here, and I see over here, whatever his name is, can't even think of his name now, and Isaiah back there, I don't know him. What's that baby's name?
Ethan.
Yeah. Why didn't you name that baby something I could think of? I want to call him never mind what I want to call him, Ethan. But Ethan over here, I see him laying there in his dad's arms, and you think about that child and the baby, they don't know what sin is. They don't know the ungodliness. They don't know anything like that. They simply lay them there. They're dependent upon mother, dad, grandparents, somebody to hold them, somebody to take care of them, somebody to feed them, somebody. They're so dependent. And there they are. What an illustration that is of how we ought to be toward God. We're dependent upon Him. We can't really help ourselves. He's the only one that can really help us. He's our strength. He's our help. He's our hope outside of Him. Brother gave a testimony a while ago, said he wasn't looking for God. God came looking for him. Amen. And that baby didn't bring itself into the world. You brought that baby into the world. God gave it and you brought it into the world. Amen. And so it's God that does that. And there's no conception if God doesn't get in and help. Amen. And some can't have children, and some have physical problems so they cannot have children. God blesses others to have children. But regardless of the fact, God gives children. I realize sometimes situation is not the best that children are born into, but that child is still a gift from God. And at conception, amen. I would that over America and around the world, everybody would understand that life is God-given. You wouldn't even have breathed the first breath from your mother's womb had it not been for the grace of God. If God hadn't given you life, you wouldn't have had life. And so life is God-given. And anyone that argues that you can kill a baby while it's in the womb, that's crazy. They're just as much alive then as they are when they're outside of the womb. Fact is, some babies are born so premature that it would be legal to kill them at that. Well, in fact, is it probably legal to just about kill them full term almost now? But I don't know what the law really says right there. But I know one thing: they've been premature babies born that folk would argue nothing but a fetus, and they wouldn't have life. But yet they've been taken care of, and they've lived and became a normal human being in their bodies. And I say, if that could happen there, it could happen anywhere. Amen. God gives life. I remember reading a story about a doctor one time, and he didn't do abortions, but a lady came in and had a little boy with her and asked the doctor about getting an abortion. He said, well, why don't you just let me kill the one you got there? He said, it's a lot easier to get to, and we could just kill that one and wouldn't have to bother. And she said, no, I love this one. This one's my child. I can't kill it. He said, well, what's the difference? What's the difference? That one's outside the womb, the other's inside the womb. But what's the difference? It's your child. And so a child, I just want to start out with the fact that life is God-given and God's gracious gift. But now I want you to talk about the parents' responsibility for a few moments. Turn with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Now hang with me on this. And we'll try to share some scriptures with you and hope you'll follow with us. I read them often, but I want to read them again tonight. Therefore, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore, ye shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. And if you don't lay them up in your heart and in your soul, you'll never impart them unto your children. Amen. You can bring a child to an altar. You can have a preacher pray over a child. And we can do the dedication like that. But really, the real dedication takes place in your heart, in your home. That's where the real dedication takes place. He said, lay these words up in your heart and in your soul. And by the way, I plug this one in right here. You can't lay them up in your heart and in your soul unless you're going to accept them as truth.
And if you accept them as truth, then you accept the fact that you're a sinner and that you need salvation. And if you accept that fact and you realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, died for sinners and rose from the dead, and that he wants to save you, and the only way there is to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The only way you can be the parents you ought to be is to be saved. Then you'll be saved and born in the family of God. I know Brother Brady, Sister Angel, have testimony of being born in the family of God. I say amen. I'm glad. Amen. You ain't no use trying to dedicate a baby of unsaved parents, because you can't do that. Because that baby can't be given to the Lord by unsaved parents, because they're not saved. They never given themselves to the Lord. Amen. And so I'm trying to say tonight, anybody in this house is not saved, you need to be saved. You need to be born in the family of God. It's good that God gives life and children get born, babies get born. But I'd love to hear the cries of those in the church house when they get born in the family of God. Or the cries down beside the couch somewhere in a living room. Or out in a car, in a parking lot, or wherever it is, somebody crying out to God to save them. Where's Brother Bill? In a prison cell, somebody crying out. That's a good kind of cry. Good kind of cry to hear. It may be in a school. It may be wherever it may be. It may be wherever. It's a good kind of cry to hear. Is that cry of that newborn babe? Hey, we need to hear the cries in the house of God. I'd love to hear cries of people being saved and born in the family of God. And so the word of God's precious, and said, lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Bind them for a sign upon your hand. They may be as front between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. As the days of heaven upon the earth. He says, like heaven, have a home where the word of God's hidden in the hearts of them, of the mother and dad, and where it's shared with the children as they come along. And they live for God, and they talk about it when they get up. They talk about it when they're sitting down to eat. They talk about it when they walk by the way. They talk about it before they go to bed. Hey, he said, that's like heaven on earth. I say hallelujah, amen. It is like heaven on earth, and I say praise God for the privilege to talk about it and talk about the word of God and things of God. And I'm the first to admit at raising children, I'm no authority. I couldn't write a book on it. I couldn't tell you all about it. I can't tell you how to do it. And I've tried to raise two children. And I thank God for my children. And if I had it to do over, I'd do some things different, I'm sure. I believe you would too, probably, if you had it to do over. I look back over at not only raising children, but preaching or pastoring a church. There'd be some things I'd do differently. Being married, there's some things I start saying something I'd do differently. Man, sound like I might have married somebody else. I can dig myself some of the worst holes of any man alive. I didn't mean it that way. Never mind. I better just go on and forget it, because somebody will get me sure as the world. But what I'm talking about, your life, you would do some things different. I know you would. I know Pam would. But anyway, I know some of you do some things different. But as we think about it, you do the best you know at the time you're living. Amen. And you try. And you try to do it by Bible. You try to do your best. And don't always everything work out like you think it should. Amen. Don't always. And I know raising children as a preacher, and as a preacher, you know, you try to make sure, and sometimes I wonder if I put too much pressure on children in that. I don't mean you don't correct your children, don't do right. Now, I'm going to get to some of that in a minute, but I remember one time years ago, I was talking to Anthony, and he had grown up, and we was in a vehicle, just he and I, and I was talking about raising children. I said something to Anthony about, I wasn't sure that I did everything right, about what I let them do, didn't do. And he said, Dad, I appreciate the way I was raised. That meant more to me than anything he could have said. I appreciate the way I was raised. And I wanted to raise them for God. I wanted to raise them for Jesus. I wanted to do my best. I wanted to do that was right. Didn't always do that. I messed up, I'm sure. But I want to see my grandchildren do right. I want to see my great-grandchildren do right. Have a desire in my heart to see you do right. Have a desire in my heart to see Isaiah do right. Have a desire in my heart to see Ethan do right. Amen. I have a desire in my heart to see all these things happen for the glory of God. But look with me, please, if you will, over in Proverbs chapter number 6, chapter 21, chapter 22. Let's go to chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I want you to look at verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Didn't say he wouldn't stray some. Said when he's old. I want you, hey, by the way, if you think you can raise a child or children and none of them ever go astray, you might best think twice, because you don't know what's going to happen. And we need to have compassion and care for those that have children that go astray. You say, boy, my children never mess up. You better be careful about what you say. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never do that. But he did. He did. Look in verse number 15 of chapter 22 of the book of Proverbs. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Look in chapter 23 and verse number 13 and 14. Our modern day society has a hard time with this. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. I'm reading the Bible. I'm not making this story up. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, doesn't that say something to us? And correcting children, what he's saying is, if you don't correct your children, you may be helping them, leading them on to hell. Amen. If you do correct your children, you'll be helping them toward the right way, because they need to learn correction. They need to learn that some things are right and some things are wrong, and that they don't always get their way. Have you ever seen children in the store telling mom and dad what to do? I have. I'd have yanked them up. Said, listen, I'm the daddy, you're the youngin, or the mama, whatever it is, and straightened them out. But I wasn't the daddy and I wasn't the mama, so I kept my mouth shut. But I looked at them and thought, I don't believe I'd do that way if I was you. There's a better way to do that. And children learn after a while. I remember, I can't help but tell this, I looked down and saw Bryn, couldn't help but tell him. She's in Walmart one day with her dad and mom, and she wasn't doing what she wasn't supposed to do or something anyway. And they told her to go and whip her. When she got home, she got out to the van, she just laid her head up on the van and said, go ahead. She knew she was going to get it, she just wanted to get it over with. Amen. Children learn early that if you mean what you say, they're going to get it, then they're going to get it. And so she got it, I guess. I don't know what happened. I got to laughing when he told me about that. I don't know whether they got by with it or not. Anthony had a way of getting by things, getting you to laugh about it. But I don't know what Bryn, I guess she was following the same pattern, I guess. But anyway, but the Bible teaches correction. And I know there's a right way to do that. I understand that. And I understand the Bible's not talking about doing something cruel. And he's not talking about hurting children. He's talking about loving them in the right kind of way. And there is a right kind of way to love and a right kind of way to correct and help them. I want you to turn with me, please, in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4. Ephesians 6 and 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so he said, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And so you must correct them. You have to correct them. You have to teach them what's right and what's wrong. You have to take them to church and teach them all these things. But don't provoke them to wrath. That is, you have to handle them in the right attitude and toward them with love and compassion. And I tell you what, When they do mess up, you have to love them. When they're home, you can correct them up to a certain age, and then they reach a certain place in life, and it's out of your hand, but you pray for them, and you love them, and you desire for them to do what's right. I believe God answers prayer. I believe God helps children. Amen. I believe God will help your children, my children, anybody's children, or grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, or whoever, wherever, anytime, any place. If they stray, God can and will help them if we'll pray and love them and keep on. Amen. When that prodigal son came home, that dad hadn't done anything wrong. That dad, I believe, raised that boy same way he raised the boy that stayed home. The boy that stayed home wasn't what he ought to have been either. And so they had a problem with him. But same dad, but different kind of attitudes about the boys. But when that boy came home, the dad met him and hugged him up and kissed him. Amen. I say hallelujah. I'm glad God loves us like that. I'm glad we can love our children like that. I'm glad we can love our families like that. We can love those who stray like that. I'm glad we can help. Amen. I'm trying to be a help and encouragement too. I'm talking about parents. There is a responsibility. And I do believe parents have a responsibility to love the Word of God, teach the Word of God, talk about the Word of God, keep them in the house of God, and teach them what is right and what is wrong. Teach them how to act. Teach them respect the law. Teach them to behave. Amen. And children are going to be children. They're going to misbehave sometimes. I remember witnessing to a lady in Whiteville, North Carolina, and I trying to use her children as an illustration of everybody's sin. And I said, your children will lie. They just little bitty tykes. And boy, she jumped down my throat. My children don't lie. I just kind of backed up in my chair. I thought she was going to flog me. You ever seen an old setting hen? When she has little dibs, you know, and you start to get one out from under her, she'll fluff up like she's going to, and sometimes she will flog you if you mess with her chicks. But this lady, I use that word kind of lightly because she sure got on my case. But anyway, she really got upset because I said her children would lie. And I guarantee you they would. I guarantee you yours will. And these little old babies you hold in your arms, they'll cry like you stuck a safety pin through them. And they'll act like, and you think they're dying. You pick them up and they'll goo-goo at you. I say they're little lying boogers. You say, preacher, my baby not that. Well, you wait and see. Amen. You wait and see. Someday you'll watch them do something and you'll say, did you do that? And they'll say, uh-uh. But you never did teach your children. You don't have to teach any child how to lie. They lie because they've got a sin nature. Amen. They sin because they have a sin nature. I did the same thing. You did the same thing. Our forefathers did the same thing. Everybody did the same thing. Amen. George Washington may have told the truth about cutting down a cherry tree. I don't know. But I guarantee he lied somewhere in his life. Amen. And everybody has. Everybody does. Bible says we come from our mother's womb line. And so we have to understand the fact that we have a sin nature. That's why you teach your children how to act. You have to teach them right and good things. Amen. And all of that. But doing that. But then you give them back to the Lord. I like this. Amen. I want you to look with me, please, in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. I read this the other day, but I want to read it again. What Hannah did when she... Now, God graciously give the children, and parents have a great responsibility, but I'm glad the child's given back to God. God's the one that gave it. And when we say give back to God, it's not necessarily to be a prophet like Samuel was, not necessarily to be a preacher, not necessarily to be a missionary, but it is necessarily to be given to God to use however he sees fit for his glory and for his honor. And that parents realize the fact that they have to yield it all to God. And when they dedicate that child, that's what they're saying. Look in verse number 24 of chapter number 1 of the book of 1 Samuel. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. She brought him back. She said, I'll give him back to God. God can use him however she sees fit. Look in chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. When you give your children back to God and commit them to God, that's what dedication means. It's not, we're not saving them. We're not making them a child of God. They're just a baby being dedicated and saying, the parents are saying, we dedicate this child to the Lord to be used for God however he sees fit. As far as we as parents are concerned, he belongs to the Lord, and we're praying that God will save him when he gets old enough to be saved, and he understands he'll get really born in the family of God and live for God, and God can use him however God sees fit. That's what it's saying. And when you do that, that's joy in your heart and in your soul. And then in verse number 2 says, there are none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. She's just praising God. God gave her a son. She brought him back to God. She praised the Lord. And she did what she said she's going to do. God blessed her. She had other sons and daughters. I say hallelujah. Thank God for the privilege always to have a child come into the home. It is a God-given gift. God-given gift. And what a blessing it is. Sister Patty Hollifield reminded me of this the other day. But the day that I was in the hospital with Brother Roland and Sister Roland, their son was dying. He was in intensive care and bad shape, and we knew that unless God intervened, he was going to die. I was with that family, and we had prayed and cried together, and then I walked downstairs and another floor, and Patty had Michaela at that time and the baby. When I walked in the room, Michaela was crying, but I picked her up and she quit crying. I started talking to her and she stopped. And I thought I left a sorrowful family come down to one just given a new life to. And that little baby, a new life. One was losing a life, one was gaining a life. Isn't that the way life is? There's birth, there's death. There's God-given life, God takes life. But God always is right. Always. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want the pianist to come. We're not going to have any singing. I want the pianist to come. She's going to play something for us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And before we dedicate Isaiah, I want us to take time to think tonight about raising children, to think about what life is, God-given, to think about eternity, life is taken, about letting God have his way in our lives. It may be God just simply dealing with your heart that you need to live for God. It may be that you need as a parent to do certain things to help your children. I don't know what it is, but God's speaking to your heart about anything tonight. Would you slip out? Stand our feet, please. Just stand up. Would you slip out from where you are? Come down here and bow. You're not saved. You're lost without God. Why don't you come to Jesus and get saved? Or you need to come and bow and talk to God about something. You need some help. You just look at me, get my attention, and somebody will help you, somebody will pray with you. Why don't you come to Jesus? Jesus saved sinners. Life, God gave you life. God gave you life. That's the only reason why you live. God can take it as easy as he can give it. Why don't you come? If you need to come, you ought to come. God speaking your heart, you ought to come. God doing something for you, you ought to let God help you. Whatever it is God's speaking your heart about, you come quickly. I'm not going to prolong the invitation. I'm simply waiting on God for a few moments. And you do whatever it is God wants you to do tonight. You come.